book of Matthew, chapter number 13. We'll begin in the very first verse. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. We look this morning in these first nine verses at the parable of the sower. Father, I pray now you would help us as we enter into this time to teach and preach the Word of God, that you'd give us wisdom from above, you'd fill us by the Spirit of God, and help us to preach to this thy people, God, that they might be encouraged, God, that they might examine themselves, and that God, as faith comes to them and germinates, Father, that they'd be able to have fruit that would be found for your glory. And for this we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I was asked this question, Preacher Darren, why are there not better results of the ministries of the church than there are? My mouth fell open. I did not know what to say. I took it to the Lord. Lord, why are there not better, greater, more positive results for your glory? For what we do for you. Lord, why are there not better results? I'm asked, I don't have an answer. Jesus said, why did I see negative results when I sent my son upon this earth to teach and to preach, to heal, to give his life for all the sins of mankind? Why would anyone reject me? I said, Lord, I don't know. He said, if they rejected me, they'll reject you. Number one, we see the information about the parable. Jesus left the house, he went to the seaside, and great multitudes gathered about him. So then he got into a ship, and he sat in the ship, and the multitude stood there on the seashore. And the Bible says in verse 3 that Jesus began to speak to them. Now what a great place to speak. There on the seashore, the hillside, Jesus sits in the boat. It's almost a built-in amphitheater. And the Bible says he began to speak parables unto them. What is a parable? It literally means to cast alongside. A parable is, in my terms, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus spoke to them in parables. Now, in verse 10, the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why would you speak in parables? Well, the first reason he speaks in parables is to reveal. In other words, it is to give an illustration, to teach a truth to us that is unknown, that we may see it. But he also teaches in parables to conceal the gospel. For those who've rejected the gospel, he teaches in parables to hide those things from them. Preacher, why would he do that? Verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. You can see here that Jesus is teaching them about a sower.
that has obviously plowed the field. He's furrowed the field, laid it off into rows, and the field is prepared for the sowing of the seed. And here we have the sower who went forth to sow the seed. Now, I liken that this morning to this church. The sower went out to sow. Imagine this morning, here we are at the church. There are four sections in this building. Section 1, 2, 3, and 4. And you might say that all four of these sections are different fields. Field 1, 2, 3, and 4. And between the fields, there's a pathway. We call it an aisleway. And oftentimes in Israel, that was the way that it was. They had fields that were separated by pathways to get to the next field, okay? And the sower has his field prepared, and he goes out to sow the seed. And as he gets out to sow the seed, Jesus mentions here, as he's got this canvas or this leather bag to go out with the seed, he mentions there are at least four different kinds of soil. Now I'd like to know a little more about it, wouldn't you? I'd like to find out, number two, the interpretation of the parable. First of all, Jesus gives us that interpretation himself. In verse 18, he says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." Who is the sower? It's Jesus. Look at verse 37. "He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." Very clear. Jesus is the original sower, though he turned the ministry over to the disciples. And they in turn discipled others, and the ministry has now been turned over to you and I. We are to go out and sow the gospel. We are the sowers. This morning I brought with me some seed. First of all, I brought some mustard seed. It's the smallest of all seed. Jesus said if we had faith as the grain of mustard seed, amen, we could say to the mountains, "Be thou removed into the sea," and it'd be cast to the sea. Don't you look how little this is, gentlemen? Just look. I've got about a handful of seed. Look at that. That's a grain of mustard seed. Says it'll come up in about 21 days. Hey, listen to this. Jesus said his word can come up immediately. Amen. He said the sower went out to sow. Can you see him? As the sower goes out to sow, and he's sowing it. Praise God. What is the intent of the sower? We know who the sower is. It is the Son of Man. It is Jesus Christ turned over to you and I. That's the identity. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," amen, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." What is his intention? His intention is a harvest. His intention is that the seed is going to come up. He's not sowing for yesterday. I go to a lot of churches that's living in yesterday. Boy, we had a revival in 1964, and that's, they're still stuck in that revival. That's great, but it's not helping me now. I need something for today, and I need something for the future. The sower is building for the future. That's his intent, is a harvest for the future. Have you a vision for the future of your Sunday school class? Have you a vision for the future of the church? Have you a vision, a prayer, a desire, a burden for where do we go from here? I don't want to live in yesterday. I want to be able to sow the seed so that the young people of this church can be the next pastor, the next choir leader, the next choir, the next mamas, the next daddies, the next Sunday school teachers, that they'll come in here and say, "Let me tell you something. We still can serve God in the good old USA. What about the potential of the seed? What is the seed? Verse 19. "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom." Amen. The word is the seed. And Luke chapter 8 verse 11 says, "The seed is the word of God." You know what? The word of God, some people say, "Preacher, it's just a book. It's dead." Let me tell you something. It's not dead. There's life in the seed. Preacher, can you prove it? Yeah, you take any seed you want to. You put it in the ground, cover it up, leave it for dead. Let God water it, and it'll come back to life. Because there's life in the seed. The word of God is inspired. That means God breathed. Amen. It's inspired. It's infallible. It is inerrant. The seed is the Word of God. You realize how you're saved? You're saved by incorruptible seed. And 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, amen, by the Word of God, which liveth forever and ever. It's a powerful seed. No wonder Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It's not only that, but it's an eternal seed. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of God, what does it do? It shall stand forever. Praise God for the Word of God. The seed has potential. I brought another seed. I brought sunflower seeds. These are those great big sunflower seeds. They call them giant sunflower seeds. Not just for us to eat, but these are what you can put in the ground and the sunflowers come up. Look how big those bad boys are. I'm telling you, you put them in the ground, man, you'll have you a bunch of sunflowers come up. You realize for every one that goes in the ground, it may give you over 1,000 more seed in the long run. The seed has potential, amen. I like that, don't you? So just go out and sow the seed. Let it fall where it falls. Sow the seed. My job is to preach the word. Your job is to go out and be a witness, amen, a gospel witness. I like them sunflower seeds because when they come up, they look for the sun. And they follow him all day long. And when the sun goes down, they bow their head. And when the sun gets up, they find him again. You and I need to be centered on Jesus Christ, amen. There is the potential of the seed. What about the problem of the soils? You see, the problem in this parable is not the sower. Jesus is a perfect sower. It's not the seed, it's a perfect seed. The problem is the soil. So let's talk about the soil here, the problem of the soil. First of all, verse 19, Jesus mentions this soil that's considered to be the wayside. I call it the compacted soil. Can you imagine as the sower goes out, some of it fell in the aisleway. It's been trodden under the foot of men. It's been compacted. It's not been plowed. It's just become a hard pathway. That old compacted soil, the soil represents our heart. Is your heart tender to the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God? Amen. Or is it already predetermined? I don't want that old time religion. I don't want that old fogey stuff. It won't help me at all. I used to think that way. But there's an old time preacher man sowed the seed anyway. Amen. And if it hit my heart and bounced off me, he just kept on preaching. He said, I'll put the plow on it. It's what I'll do. I'll put the plow to you, amen, and I'll plow you up. I'm going to get in your heart. I'm going to get in your field with the Word of God, and I'm going to set the tongue of that plow deep, amen, going to tenderize the soul. So one day, it'll take the seed. And praise God through the prayers of mom and daddy and through the prayers of a good church. One day when the plow set deep, amen, and the Word of God was sown, boy, immediately my heart had come up and said, you need to be saved. You need to get right with God. And boy, I came, amen. I said, oh God, I'm tired of being the wayside soul. Let me tell you what happened to the wayside soul. The fowls came. You know, fowls love seed. The fowls came and they snatched up the seed and said, boy, that looks like a good meal. What does the fowl represent? He represents the devil wanting to come and take away the seed. Yeah. You know why you're hard-hearted? Because it's the devil that's doing it to you. Right. It's not you yourself. It's the devil doing it to you. Right. Harden your heart to the things of God. And the Bible said, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. What's the second type? The crippled soul. Look at verse 20. He that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that receiveth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. So the sower sows the seed. And it falls what looks to be good ground. And it's got stones in it. Covered by a thin layer of soil. Says, ooh, I'm excited about church. I'm excited about the gospel. I'm excited about the things of God. And for a week or two or a month or so, you get pretty faithful. You get dedicated to it. But when you try to take root, there's stones there. That's crippling you and hindering you. Rather than to pull the stones out of the field, you just leave them there. When you start to sprout up and you get leafy green, sunshine comes out and hits you, and because you have no depth of root, you quickly fizzle out and wither away because you can't get deep roots to get the good nurturing and the good moisture of the Word of God. And so quickly you wither away. I see it every Sunday. It looks like good soil, but you're hard-hearted to some things. Grudges are carried, and you don't want to give up too much of your time, so you become hard-hearted about some things and not softened to the gospel. It's all right. It's all right. Preacher Darren, how's it all right? It's all right, because I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep plowing. And when you're here on Sunday morning, I'm going to keep plowing. And I'm going to keep sowing seed. I'm going to keep letting it fly, amen, for the glory of God. And eventually, that old stone's going to come out of there, amen. God's going to soften that heart, amen. And you're going to start to care about the things of God the way you need to. It's a stony heart. It's a crippled place. It's soon as there's a hardship, you realize hardships will come. You go home, well, I'm excited about church. And the bill collector calls. Boy, you ain't paid your bills. Oh. The devil says, how come, if you really got saved, why didn't God give you $1,000 to pay off all your bills? God don't really care about you. Oh, you're right. Hey, why don't the church, if the church is supposed to be what the church is, why don't the church just give you everything? You know what? It's not what the church does for you. It's what you can do for the Lord in the church. But you will out. You sprouted pretty good, but now you're withered completely away. Are y'all okay? Number three. Bible says, it speaks about crowded soil. Verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Soil is filled with thorns. Now, are you with me? This is somebody who's an impure heart. You're filled with the cares of this world. Can you see that old sower as he goes out and he reaches down into his pouch and he pulls out that seed to sow it, and it's sowed in a good place, but you're so busy with boating and hunting and shopping and doing all the things that you got to do, the seed don't come up. You're choked out by the cares of this world. I mean, you sprouted there pretty good, but these two thorns just choked you back down. The cares of Brother Jerry's needy and Brother David's got to have a lot of things and a lot of attention, and quickly, here, y'all lean on me, quickly, oh, back down you go. The cares of this world's choked you out. It's crowded soil. What about the choice soil? Verse 23. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. That choice soil is that receive the word of God. That finally hit me, amen? Where the plaid went through enough, amen, and the seed finally hit, it became choice soil. And let me tell you what, it bore fruit. You and your life will begin to bear fruit. You'll start being a witness to others. The seed that you got, now you've got fruit, and you start trying to be a sow seed to other people. And maybe you're going to come back in here with 30 more, just like you. Well, I like that. You say, Lord God, we can't use 30 more Jerrys. That'd be awful. And I'm talking about 30 more people that need the seed of the Word of God, amen, that want to grow. Look around you. God is growing His church. So that's the interpretation of the parable. What kind of soul are you? Are you choice soul? Are you that good, rich, fertile soul? Are you that crippled soul? Got some stony places. Are you that crowded soul? Got a lot of cares of this world? Huh? Or are you that old compacted soul that it hits you and it bounces right off of you? I can't tell you how many times I've gone to preach and it seemed like I was preaching to a whole group of compacted soul. Of where you it just bounce right back in your face. Amen? Number three, I'll be done. I want us to hear, last of all, the instruction of the parable. Found in verse 9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Preacher, what's the instruction here? First of all, you need to examine the condition of your own heart. What kind of soul are you? Second of all, you need to examine, am I involved in sowing seed? Am I sowing the gospel seed? Or am I sowing the cares of this world? Am I sowing to the flesh? If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap to the flesh. But if you sow the Spirit, you'll reap of the Spirit. What are you sowing? Thirdly, you're not going to see the results you want. When you go out to sow, you're hopeful that every one of the seeds going to come up. Lord God, it blessed me to death if everybody here this morning come back tonight and brought some with you. Amen. But if they don't all come back, oh, I guess I'll just quit. See, results aren't up to me. Amen. Sowing seeds, what's up to me? Yes, just keep sowing the seed. Let it alone. Hey, turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. You see, the strategy of Satan is to not only get this compacted soil to harden and he can take the seed from you, but not only is the strategy to take it from your heart, are you hearing me? His strategy is to take it out of my hand. He doesn't even want me to sow it. Take the seed away from the heart and take the seed away from their hands. If I can discourage Bethel Baptist Church, they'll quit sowing that seed. They'll quit preaching on the internet. They'll quit preaching on the radio. They'll quit working in Awana. They'll give up that Christian school. They'll quit supporting missionaries across the world. They'll quit knocking on doors and handing out CDs. Let me discourage them. That's the strategy of Satan. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. You see that? If you observe the wind, you'll never sow. The wind, if you take seed, you get in here, so let me see how the wind is blowing, whether I should sow it or not. If the wind ain't blowing just right, well, it's 12 o'clock when I got in the pulpit, and people probably got the roast on, and the bread's probably in the oven, and I better not preach this message. Maybe this would be better for another time. And the wind, listen, and I'd be intimidated. And so I said, well, I'll just put the seed back in my pocket. But he said, if you observe the wind, you'll never sow. He said, the devil's going to make sure that something's against us to keep you from sowing the good seed of the Word of God. Do not let him intimidate you. I don't care who sits in the congregation. I don't care if it's the president himself. Preach the Word of God. Be faithful to teach the Word of God. Do not back up. Do not be intimidated by the strategy of Satan. Amen? Keep on preaching. Jesus told us, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Don't be distracted by what you observe. What do you mean? You see, if I observe the wind all the time and how it's blowing, what I think about it, I'll never get anything done. In verse 6, he says, in the morning, sow thy seed, and in the evening, withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or where they both alike shall be alike. Good. Preacher, what are you trying to say? Don't withhold your hand. Sow what he gives you. I bought this little bag of sunflower seed. He said, I just want you to go sow it. Sow it all. He said, just sow it all. Don't withhold your hand. Don't leave the seed in the barn. Just sow it all. Sow the message I give you. Sow the good word of God. It'll help you. Don't evaluate it. Leave it to God. What about don't be discouraged by germination? Preacher, if it don't come up, what am I going to do? I sowed a lot of seed. The Bible says in Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I'm going to ask you this question, church. Are we well-doing or doing well? God judges in the well-doing. You judge in the doing well. How you doing? I'm doing well. There's a difference between doing well and well-doing. Which are you? Amen? Don't be discouraged by germination. Preacher, I think it all ought to come up. How many of y'all have ever gardened? Did it all come up? Did the mole get it? Did the bird try to get it? You try to put up some scarecrows to try to keep the birds out of it, amen? Just keep sowing the seed and don't get discouraged by the results that you see, whether it germinates or not. Just keep sowing the seed. Don't be disarmed by alterations. The Bible says, Isaiah 30 verse 10, prophesy unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. In other words, Preacher Darren, just smooth out the message. Just smooth it out. We don't want you preaching hard. We don't want you to sweat. We don't want you to foam at the mouth and spit and spew and sputter. We just want you, Preacher Darren, to give us a little lesson. Talk to us 5 or 10 minutes. We're pretty good people. And send us to the house. That'll work. It'll make us all feel better. But you see, the long-term results of that, you will fall out by the wayside. You'll be done pretty quick. But if we get that seed way down deep in your heart, she'll come up for the glory of God. What's Jesus been sowing in your life? Truth, mercy, forgiveness, compassion, faith, mustard seed faith. You know, I started studying about seed, and you can't manufacture seed. Y'all know that? Boy, there's a deep truth, and there's a whole message in that. You cannot manufacture seed. It's got to be the real McCoy, or it won't work. I'm Preacher Darren. Now, we can go to the moon. We got a microwave oven. We got cell phones. Preacher Darren, don't tell me. We can't make our... You can't do it. You can't do it. And only God is going to be the one to really help you. You stand to your feet. I finished sowing the seed. A sower went forth to sow, sowing the good seed of the Word of God. And it fell on soil, some by the wayside, some in stony places. Some was choked out by the thorns. Some withered away by the sunshine that scorched it. But some fell on good soil. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would help this people. God, that we'd be prepared for the good seed of the Word of God. That you'd do great things amongst us, though we deserve it not. That God, you'd prepare our heart. You'd forgive us of our old sinfulness and our old waywardness. And God, you'd help us, Lord, that we'd line up with the Word. God, I'm thankful that a sower went forth to sow because he sowed the good seed in my life. And I'm so thankful that it brought salvation. Lord, I ask now your favor, your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.